It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has recently announced that 18 to 19-year-olds whose parents earn $65,528 annually will no longer be eligible for JobSeeker support. The government estimates that 4,300 young people would become ineligible under this new policy. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon says these changes to JobSeeker support eligibility are tough love, and that he did not want the government to send a message to young people that 18 to 19-year-olds could just drift into welfare and that's it. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, I spoke to him about this topic. We also discussed the government saying they would amend the Policing Act to guarantee police have the power to collect intelligence through the means of photographing and videoing potential perpetrators. But first, we discussed the changes to the JobSeeker benefit. In Budget 2025, a move like this was originally set to come into effect by July 2027. However, this has been brought forward to November next year. Why is this?
Quite simply because officials, when pushed, have found a way to bring it forward by a year. And this government thinks it's really important that we send the right signals, because for too long, the welfare system has paid young people to sit at home instead of getting into work. That's bad for taxpayers. It's actually worse for the teenagers themselves. It's bad for taxpayers because taxpayers should go to work knowing they're funding important government services and not paying some teenager next door to sleep their future away. So it's important to bring it forward, and we just want to make sure that we are sending the right signals to people thinking about their futures.
There are concerns that this policy will also affect young people who have had to stop work or reduce their hours over health conditions and temporary disabilities. With these changes to JobSeeker eligibility, young people will be tested on obviously how much their parents are earning, but also things such as a parent support gap test, showing that young people can receive support from their parents. With those who have had to take some leave for health reasons, will there also be a sort of eligibility test here as well, or would this be a move the government would consider?
Well, if people are on a benefit for health reasons or need to seek help for health reasons, that's quite a separate matter. This is about making sure that for people who are not in work, who are not in training, who are aged 18 to 19 and who are currently on the JobSeeker benefit or may think they're eligible for it next year, they won't be if their parents earn more than 65 grand a year. It's quite simple. Do not leave school, do not leave training, do not leave your job with the expectation that you're going to get a benefit. That is not our future.
The Council of Trade Unions and even the Taxpayers Union have expressed concerns that parents might reduce their hours so that the family as a whole could receive JobSeeker support. With the design of this policy, families earning even a dollar over the $65,528 threshold will lose out on roughly $14,000 after tax. Has the government accounted for this sort of concern?
Certainly have. I think most parents will want their kids to stand on their own two feet and, faced with the choice between earning less themselves, earning less as a household, or encouraging their teenagers to get out there and work or go into study, most parents will tell their kids to pull their finger out and step up. This is about setting expectations that adulthood means taking responsibility, not living a life of dependency. This is a really important reset. It's been a very long time since this type of message was delivered to families and young people who are not achieving their potential and not even trying. And most New Zealanders, most taxpayers applaud this move.
Unemployment is rising in the country, with 5.1% of New Zealanders unemployed. According to opposition leader Chris Hipkins, there are 36,000 less jobs compared to when Prime Minister Christopher Luxon first took office. We're seeing large numbers of Kiwis move overseas, with 70,000 leaving the country in the year to March 2025. What are the government doing to entice young New Zealanders, specifically those who are 18 to 19 years old, to stay in the country when finding a job in this current climate is so difficult for them?
This is not new. I mean, when I left school and was deciding whether to go to uni or to get a job, hundreds of thousands of people had been made unemployed in the recession following the 1987 stock market crash. But what that means is that you can't be fussy. Your first job might not be your dream job, but you need to take a start. You need to get moving. And so once you've built up some experience, some demonstrated reliability in the workforce and a good attitude, you're going to be in a far better position to move into something that you really want to do, whether that's work or training or some type of career that takes a bit longer to get off the ground. And if you can't find the job you want straight away, there are other ways to make yourself more hireable, like get a trade. You know, join the Defence Force. A Defence Force is crying out for personnel. You know, they'll train you, they'll house you, they'll feed you. Study something practical. There's countless ways to build a future. We think that's important. That's the message the government is sending. That's the transformation that we're seeking when it comes to young people, you know, who are not in work or training. And, you know, like I said, most New Zealanders, most taxpayers are behind this. They want these young people to succeed. They want them in the workforce. There are jobs out there. We know that because New Zealand still has very high levels of immigration, immigrants coming to fill jobs in New Zealand. While teenagers sit on the couch, that's not right. And that's why we're changing these rules.
Are young people being fussy, though? There were 25,000 people who applied for 500 jobs at the IKEA that are set to open up at the end of this year. 218 young people, or just people in general, applied to a minimum wage role at a juice bar in Wellington. What is the government doing now to ensure that there are jobs just in general for young people to have?
Well, it's not the government's role to provide jobs. It's an employer's role. What government's job is to make sure that the settings for the economy are right, and we are cutting wasteful spending in government. We are reducing inflation, which is leading to a reduction in interest rates, which means that businesses can afford to borrow to buy new plant and equipment, to open a new store or branch. We're focusing on the structural reforms to the economy, and the work that I'm doing in the resource management space, infrastructure funding and financing, we're making sure the planning system is enabling so that projects can get off the ground much faster, so they can hire workers to build roads, build schools, build hospitals. All of these things are happening in the background. But at the end of the day, you know, if teenagers, 18 and 19-year-olds, not in work, not in training, are applying for jobs, I absolutely applaud them. But like I said, you know, when it's tough out there, you can't be fussy. You're just going to have to find something that gets a foot in the door. That's what I did. That's what most people do.
Moving on to our next topic, the government says the Policing Act is set to be amended to give police officers back powers to collect intelligence in public. Police Minister Mark Mitchell says officers have been left uncertain about taking people's photos and videos in public spaces. Why is there this level or sort of uncertainty that police officers are facing in this situation?
Well, in a recent court case, a judge determined that photos taken by the police for one reason could not be used as part of a prosecution for another serious crime. And so what the government is doing is clarifying when it is appropriate for evidence that the police collect in one circumstance to be applied to another circumstance. That's really important because we do have serious organised crime in New Zealand, organisations that are very sophisticated and, you know, have the same type of communications and intelligence capability as small countries. We need to be able to carry out surveillance on them to identify who these people are or what their patterns are and make sure that, you know, when it comes time to seeking a conviction, that police are not undermined by discrepancies in how they might use photo and video evidence. So this is not a radical change, it's simply clarifying how this evidence might be used in any potential case.
Opponents or critics of this amendment say this would or this may result in the country becoming a surveillance state. What do you make of this sort of accusation?
That is absolutely incorrect. The ACT Party is going to monitor this legislation passes through the House. We will not accept a general ability for the police just to park up and surveil. There has to be a demonstrated need for this power. But you know, it's also important to note that these changes actually restore the police's ability to detect and prevent crime and support prosecution so that vital information can be lawfully collected and retained for lawful purposes. It's not about general surveillance. It's about being able, as I said, photographs, video, taken for one purpose, surveilling an individual when it turns out that, you know, actually that individual's involved in organised crime or organising, you know, terrorist activity, that the information collected for one lawful purpose can be used for another lawful purpose, simply clarifying the law.
Specifically to that point, I guess, what sort of amendments would the ACT Party then want for this Act to ensure that these sort of concerns that New Zealand might become a sort of surveillance state, what would the ACT Party propose so that New Zealanders don't have this sort of fear?
Well, the ACT Party believes in upholding civil liberties. And so when the legislation is introduced to the House, our representative on the Select Committee, and of course our caucus will be scrutinising that legislation. Cabinet has taken policy decisions, but the legislation's not in the House yet. So I couldn't say what amendments might be proposed. But again, you know, ACT is a party of free thinkers, free speakers, and we believe in upholding civil liberties. You can guarantee we'll be laser focused on that as this legislation goes through the House.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on the changes to job seeker support for 18 to 19-year-olds and the amendments to the Policing Act.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.